brother.
Good evening, everyone. It's always a pleasure to stand before the heavens and my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we live in a time today where I'm sure you heard the term, "What have you done for me lately?" See, when I hear that, I say, well, after hearing that, I don't want to do nothing for you now. You know? So, my lesson tonight is about serving. You know, what is serving? Serving is assisting, helping, and sacrifice. The world today has one thing on their mind. Give, give, give. You know, what you got to give me? Right? You know, Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, what that said, chapter 30 and verse 15, the leech has two daughters. Y'all know their names? Give and give. Ain't that something? Give and give. So, we want to be looking at in what ways is serving others a key part of the Christian's life. I want to use Samuel, his mom Hannah, in the second chapter of 1 Samuel. That first chapter, Elkanah had two wives. One named Peninnah and the other named Hannah. Peninnah, she was able to bear children, but Hannah wasn't. So Peninnah would mistreat Hannah. You know, I could just hear the type of words she would say to her. What kind of woman is you can't have kids? It's just brutal. You know, and this would just irritate Hannah. So Elkanah was like, well, what's wrong, Hannah? Why are you so sad? Well, because the Lord, I don't have any children, and your other wife is teasing me. So what Hannah does is that Hannah prays. Hannah prays to the Lord. And we want to read what Hannah said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like thee, Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces from heaven. He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the throne of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And that's my key verse right there, is that the child ministered before the Lord with Eli. Right? So, serving others is one way of serving God. That's how we serve God, by serving others. Samuel was Eli's helper or assistant. In this role, Samuel's responsibility would have included opening the tabernacle doors each morning. You know, we have brothers and sisters who are assigned to come and clean this building where we worship at. But this was Samuel's duty in chapter 3 in verse 15. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. You see, the Lord showed Eli some things concerning what would happen to him and his sons and his heritage, right? So he would clean the furniture, sweeping the floors. As he grew older, Samuel would have assisted Eli in offering sacrifices, right? You got to remember, he's in the Lord's house. So he's in the Lord's house. The fact that he was wearing a linen ephod means that he was in training to be a priest. You see, he was in training to be a priest working under Eli. How do we know that? So, what is an ephod? It's a garment worn by only priests. So apparently, as young as he was, he had that gear on as a priest. We see that in the second chapter in verse 18. It tells us, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Understand this. How many women today will give their kid to the Lord? She said, Lord, if you give me this kid, I'm going to offer him to you. I'm going to lend him to you because you lent him to me. So apparently Hannah had been observing the way that Peninnah had been raising her children. She said, when I get my child, I'm going to give him to the Lord. You know how we get with our children, right? So because Samuel was Eli's helper, he was God's helper too. When you serve others, even in carrying out ordinary tasks, you are serving God. That's what we must understand. You are serving God. Every job has dignity because ultimately the one we serve is the Lord. You must take dignity in the things that you do. You know, we shouldn't be thinking, well, you know what? I'm not going to do nothing for that person. You may have a coworker that you have a problem with, and you decide that you don't want to help. Remember what serving is: assisting, helping, and sacrificing. How many of us sacrifice our time to go and visit those who are in hospitals? How many of us sacrifice our time with going and visiting people in jail? Well, we probably don't know anybody in jail, huh? But there are some of us who do have people in jail. You don't have to have a relative to go and visit the sick and people like that, sick and people that are in jail and stuff like that. Go and talk to the homeless. What are you doing with your time? is the question. You see, only you know that question, right? So, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we see that Matthew is the only one that uses the phrase or the term, the kingdom of God. What does the kingdom of God mean? The kingdom of God means the reign of God. Okay, the reign of God, what are you saying? The reign of God, God reigns from where? To where? God reigned from eternity past to eternity's future. So what's in between there? Right? What's in between these two eternities? So we see in chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, is the kingdom of heaven here now? Is the kingdom of God here now? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before them. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is explaining the terms and the condition of the kingdom people. So the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God begins with what? The creation. Adam and Eve. And then we move from that dispensation to the dispensation of the fathers. Right? Without the law. That's one area in time. And then from there we move to the dispensation of the law to the children of Israel. So we're talking about the reign of God and what Jesus did, right? So at the end of the Old Testament, you have the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That's another dispensation. And then we have the dispensation of the church age, the kingdom, which is here now. So that word church, kingdom, body, and all of that is interchangeable. We can use those terms. So we're living in the church age, right? So we have all these different denominations, what do we call Christendom, that are falsely teaching doctrines that are causing people to lose their souls. So we're in the church age, and then we move from that dispensation to the coming, second coming of Christ. And once Christ comes, then we end everything and we move into the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the earth. And then God moves us on into eternity. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. But Jesus is saying, serving others is a distinguishing mark of a Christian in the world. So, and this is what Jesus is doing. This is what Jesus is doing at this point in time. He is serving. He is feeding people. The word of God gives us life. So all of these people are sitting down and he's feeding them the word of God. He's telling them, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when man revile you. This is not normal. This is something that's not normal. We will not normally allow a person to slap us in the face or to do wrong to us and just, you know, walk away like it ain't nothing. No, we want to get back at them in a real bad way, right? So we should have that distinguishing mark. Jesus began his sermon with the words that seem to be contradicting each other, right? But God's way of living usually contradicts the world's. Let me give you an example. Me and my wife, we go and we buy some stuff at a store. Now, if we were still in the world, we'd be like, yeah, that's your loss, right? Lady gave us back $40. So I didn't know. Wife walks out. Honey, they gave me extra money. I said, oh, did they? I said, you know that's not your money, right? She said, yeah, you're right. I said, so what are you going to do with it? She said, well, I'm going to take it and give it back. I said, okay, that's the right thing to do. You see, so that doesn't seem right. I'm sitting and talking with my coworkers about situations like that. They found money and, you know, that was someone else's and they knew it. And they kept the money. I said, oh, we don't do that. I said, that's the way of the world. That's how the world operates. And that didn't seem right to them when I told them that, hey, I found such and such amount of money and I saw the person when they dropped it and I went and gave it back. But if I were in the world at that point in time, they wouldn't have seen that money at all. So that's why he said, man, have you always been like that? I said, nope. I haven't always been like that, man. You know, it is only by the grace of God that I am what I am today. Coming out of great affliction, drug addiction, beating people up with guns, having people shot, doing time in prison, to what I am today. Glory be to God. So the way of living for God contradicts the world. If you want to live for God, you must be ready to say and do what seems strange to the world. Right? You must be willing to give when others take. You must be willing to give when others take. To love when others hate. We have so much hatred in this world today because of a man's skin color. It is a shame. But yet, if I get that same guy that hate me for the color of my skin and slice his arm and slice my arm and say, what color are we? Oh, I think that's red. Yeah, that's red. Yeah, we both red now, right? So we need to love when others hate. To help where others have abused. This is what serving does. This is what Jesus is talking about. Serving. Right? By giving up your own rights in order to serve others, you will one day receive everything God has in store for you. You don't have to worry about it. God gonna take care of you. I say, Lord, it's so much. I've seen two elderly people. I'm always coming in contact with people and doing stuff. But this day I couldn't help them. And I cried. They're in the store trying to buy some tires. And it took them like 20 or 30 minutes. The lady said, please, just be patient. I said, no, I'm okay. I'm just looking at the situation. I just wish I could just walk up there and say, look, let me take care of this for you. But I couldn't. I couldn't do it. But I wanted to so bad. I know if I would have been by myself, I would have done it. But I had someone with me. So I had someone with me. But it just brought, I just cried inside, you know, because these elderly people wasn't able to purchase the tires and the alignment for their car. And God sees that in me, that I want to help. But I couldn't help them at the time. But so we need to give up our own rights and not be so selfish when it comes to serving. You see, Jesus, let us look at Matthew. I'm going to be closing up here pretty quick here. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to do some reading. I like reading. Y'all like reading? That's the word of God. That's how you learn, when you read. So we're going to read chapter 20, verse 20 through 34. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those from whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom." Now as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. That's what needs to happen today. That's what needs to happen today. You know, we don't need people trying to stop people from coming into the kingdom. We need to be trying to get people to come into the kingdom. The other disciples were upset with James, John, for trying to, you know, grab the top position. All the disciples want to be the greatest. We read about that in Matthew chapter 18, 1. But Jesus taught them that the greatest person in God's kingdom is the servant of all. Right? Authority is given not for self-importance, not for ambition or respect, but for useful service to God in his creation. See, they had the wrong idea. You want the best seat. I want the best part of the chicken. I want the coldest soda pop in the container. We always want. Remember, the leech has two daughters. Give and give. Won't. Hand. Chop them hands off. You always got your hand out for something. Chop it off. Serving others is a real relationship. Jesus describes leadership from a new perspective. from a new perspective, right? Instead of using people, we are to serve them. Instead of using people, we are to serve them. How many of us use people? Or how many of us serve people? Jesus' mission was to serve others and to give his life away. A real leader has a servant's heart. That's what a real leader is. Is one that has a servant's heart. What can I do for you? Not what have you done for me lately. It's what can I do for you? How can I be of assistance to you? You know, I seen a couple individuals yesterday. I knew they were having problems, but the spirit was trying to move me, but I'm moving back like this. Spirit trying to move me, I'm moving back like this. And I didn't do anything. So I'm kind of wondering about that. But I only move when the spirit moved me. But this day I didn't move. And I'm kind of wondering about that. Why didn't I move? Why didn't you move, Brother Canada? So a real leader has a servant's heart. Servant leaders appreciate others' worth and realize that they're not above any job. When you get to thinking that, oh man, I'm too clean. I'm not going to clean that toilet. I'll let somebody else clean that toilet. You don't want to spend time to clean the building? Right? If you see something that needs to be done, don't wait to be asked. Take the initiative and do it like a faithful servant. And we're going to be closing up here. My last statement is going to be in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Yeah. Serving others is a Christian's best way to become more like Christ. Would you agree to that? You see, serving others is a Christian's way, best way, to become more like Christ. Yeah. Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What are you saying, brother? Some people try to earn their way to God, right? By keeping a set of rules. They didn't know that, you know, Christ done away with all that. They still trying to keep the law. People right now today thinking they're serving God by keeping little rules and regulations. Look, obeying the Ten Commandments, attending church faithfully, or doing good deeds. We understand what Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 talk about. But all that they earn for their efforts is frustration and discouragement. Because you're not going to be able to get to God through your rules and your regulations, because that has been done away with. So we can't serve God like that. However, because of Christ's sacrifice, the way to God is already open. The way to God is already open. So let us march on in. Right? So, we can become his children by obeying the gospel and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. No longer trying to reach God by keeping rules. We can become more and more like Jesus as we live with him day by day. Let the Holy Spirit turn your eyes away from your own performances, right? And toward Jesus. That's what we need to do. He will free you to serve him out of love and gratitude. Right? This is living in the way of the Holy Spirit. It's all about serving. It's not about being served. Well, if you're in the world, it's all about being served. But if you're in Christ, it's all about serving. Which one you want? Right? So if you stand in need of prayer, because it looks like everyone's here is pretty much baptized believers. If there's nothing else, let us stand and sing the song that has been selected for our hearing.